I'm excited this morning. We're going to begin a series called Plumb Lines. And the idea is really pretty simple. A plumb line is really just a string. And on the bottom of that string is a fancy weight called a plumb or a plumb bob. And what it does, the weight pulls that string straight. So you hang that plumb bob on that plumb line, and that tells you two things. It tells you what is a totally straight line, and it tells you what is true vertical. So once you get that line, then it's very easy to know how to go from that place to build the wall that you're building and keep everything square and straight. With that in mind, we have established, if you will, five plumb lines for ministry within our church. These plumb lines are lines that we should be able to hold up, look at, and then every ministry, everything we do as a church should either line up to these plumb lines, or we need to adjust or perhaps completely change that ministry. As we think about new ideas, one of the first things we need to talk about is how does it line up to our plumb lines? The five things that are so important in our church that all of the ministries need to line up to those five things. If something doesn't line up, then we either get rid of it or we adjust it. All right? So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to start this new year looking at the five plumb lines that are going to guide us into this year and further. We're going to look at them each week. This morning we start with the first one, and that is God deserves our best. God deserves our best. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start there anyway, in Colossians chapter 3. The first plumb line, God deserves our best. That ought to motivate us and drive us in everything we do as a church. It is very easy for us as a church, it's very easy for us as individuals, especially as people who are familiar with this place, this building, familiar with the ministries that we have, those of us who've been around a while, it's very easy and tempting for us just to kind of settle into a normal, easy routine that usually means mediocrity. It's very easy for us to fall into that trap. We just kind of do what we do. Everybody's forgiving. Everybody's understanding. We just kind of do a little bit here and a little bit there as it's convenient. What I'm going to begin challenging us to do from here through the rest of this year and beyond, I'm going to challenge us to measure all that we do by this first plumb line. Are we doing our best? Because God deserves it. In Colossians chapter 3, start at verse 17. Colossians 3 and 17. And whatever you do, would you interact with me a little bit this morning? Whatever you do, say whatever. Whatever. Not just the fun stuff, not just the religious stuff, but whatever you do, in word or in deed. Now, let me ask you, if I'm doing stuff, he's covered word and deed. What else is there in reference to doing stuff? I can't think of anything else. I'm either saying something or doing something. And he just says, whatever you do, whether you're doing something or saying something, He says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all, say all. Whatever you do, do it all. Whether it's word or deed, do everything, all, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks through Him to God the Father. You know, so often I make the mistake of thinking I'm doing something for God. I'm doing something for Him. I'm going to please Him. He needs me. I'm helping. In reality, if I'm doing something for Him, then I'm missing half the boat. I'm missing the major part of the point. Instead of doing something for Him, I need to be doing the best I can do in His name. There's a difference. It's not something that I do to give Him for Him. It is I do something as His representative on His behalf. That's what it means to do something in His name. That based on His authority, I am acting. As His representative, how well do I represent Him? He says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Now, we're right here in Colossians 3. Fast forward, if you will, down to the bottom of the chapter. And look at verse 24. Now, in these last two verses, he is technically speaking to slaves, servants, if you will. All right? But as we hear what he tells them, we understand the principle behind what he's saying, and we can apply that principle to who we are. So look at verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. He is serving, we are serving Him. Because we're serving Him, now back up one more verse to verse 23. I wanted to give you the why. Now look at the what. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. Do your work heartily. Say heartily. The reason I ask you to say that is because when we get toward the end of the message, that word heart is going to come back up. You do what you do heartily. You put your whole heart into what you do. Why? Because from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. I think one of the reasons that we get kind of off track sometimes in church ministry and church work is because we sometimes forget what this experience really is about. And we kind of think there's Kiwanis, and there's Chamber, and there's the school events, and then there's the, I don't know, whatever else we're involved in, and then there's church. It's one of many things that we're involved in. But see, that's where we get off track. Because it is what we do here that is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. We are not just another organization. We are organized, but we are not just an organization. We are the people of God serving God in the place and the time in which He has placed us. And so because of that, we want to do our best. And so the first thing that I would challenge us this morning is to do your best, give your best, and be your best. To do your best, give your best, and be your best. Not because it's going to make you feel good about you. You know, you can find the self-help books that tell you that, and that's probably true. You can even find preachers that'll tell you that, and that's probably true. But my motivation this morning is not so you feel good about you. My motivation this morning is do your best, give your best, be your best. Why? Because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ and He deserves it. It's about Him, not us. All right? When Ashley was coming up through school, we told her from the very beginning that we were not expecting her to make an A all the time. We did expect her to do her best. Now, if she happened to have a hard time, and I'm going to pull something completely out of the hat here. If she happened to have a hard time, I'll tell you what, I'll do a subject we don't even teach. That way it would be safe. If she had a hard time learning German, and the best she could do in German was a C+, but she studied and did her best, we would be just as proud of that C+ as we would of the A that she made in math, because she was doing her best, and that's what's required. You see, what we were doing was we weren't trying to produce a great transcript. We were trying to prepare a child to get the most that she could get out of life. And so instead of focusing on making sure you get the grade on the transcript, we were able to teach her, you do your best at what you do. And now she carries that on and continues to make us proud every day. You do the best at what you do. Perhaps you remember Kathy Rigby, famous Olympic athlete. She tried hard, worked hard, did everything she could. She practiced, did great, went to the Olympics. She knew that she had a shot at the gold. And she did very well, but in this first Olympic competition, she didn't win gold. She went up into the stands in tears. She told her mom, I'm sorry I didn't win, but I did my best. And her mom said, I know that, and you know that, and God knows that. And she said, winning is not nearly as important as being the best you. See, I think maybe even when we talk about doing our best, we even get that fouled up in our brains real quickly. You think I said, be the best. Which means you compare yourself to everybody around you. Our brains work that way. We just start thinking in competition terms. But I didn't say be the best. Rigby's mama was proud of her, not because she was competing with others, but because she knew that she was competing against what is the best that she can do. That was her standard. You and I need to stop looking at each other, comparing who we are based on how we compare ourselves to you. In other words, I may not be right, but my goodness, at least I'm not like him. Or, I'm trying my best, but I'll just never be like her. Folks, your eyes are on the wrong person when we're looking at each other in competition. Our standard is Jesus Christ Himself. Our goal is to be the best that we can be, to please Him, to serve Him. It's not your goal to be better than me. If that's your goal is way too low. Your expectations are way too cheap, and that is way too easy for you to be better than me. Instead, my goal, your goal, is to do your best, give your best, be your best, because He deserves it. In 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? That's the verse that I paraphrased for our children. When you're in a race, run it to win. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Do your best. Give your best. Be your best, because he deserves it. The second thing that I would say to us this morning is that good enough is not good enough. Good enough is not good enough. It's too tempting for us to settle for mediocrity. And I think the reason, perhaps part of the reason for that, is it's easy for us to say, well, we're just a small church. And we're just in a small town. And all we have primarily volunteers. Everybody will forgive us. Everybody's understanding. We can live with it. We can do just enough to get by. But folks, I don't think that's good enough for us, because it's not good enough for him. He deserves our best. In 2 Kings at chapter 13, there's a fascinating story. I shared it with the men in the last men's conference. Let me read it to you real quick. It's just a few verses here. Elisha became sick with illness, of which he was to die. Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. The king said to the prophet, you are the power of Israel. What are we going to do without you? And what he didn't know was that Joash was being put into a place where he was about to be tested so that he could see for himself whether or not he was ready to take on the reins, to take on the power of Israel. When the prophet was dead, the king would have the power. Is the king ready? He went through this experience to find out. And here it is. Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. He took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the window toward the east. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram. And you shall defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground, and he struck it three times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. You say, what's he in trouble for? What a silly thing to say. Take the arrows and beat them on the ground. That's a silly thing to do. But that was the test. Not the arrows being beat on the ground, but with what enthusiasm did he beat those arrows on the ground? How much of himself did he put into it? You see, he obeyed. He did enough to get by. He showed up and got his paycheck. He beat the ground like he was told, but he didn't give it his all. He didn't give it his best. He didn't do it heartily. He didn't put his heart into it. And so he learned from that experience that he had a whole lot more to learn about leading God's people. Ecclesiastes 9 challenges us in this way. Whatever your hand finds to do, say whatever. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, I know how that sounds. I know we don't want to hear this part. In the realm of the dead, how many of us are going to wind up in the realm of the dead? Every one of us. Life to death is a 1-to-1 ratio. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. In other words, the wisest man in the world says to us, life is short. Put everything you've got into it now, because when you're in the grave, it's too late. Life is short. Make the most of it. Good enough is not enough. The third thing that we learn is actually the title of the message. The third thing that I want us to think clearly about together before we're done is that God deserves our best. Imagine this. Imagine I speak to you after worship this morning, and I say, Lisa and I would really like to have you come over to our house for dinner on Tuesday night. Could you come to our house for dinner on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock? Don't panic. They won't show. I'm just kidding. You won't show, will you? Okay. Would you show up at our... Come to dinner Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. And you show up Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. And I show up when you ring the doorbell. I open the bell, the door, and I'm in my sweatpants and a dirty t-shirt. And I say, you know what? I've been working outside. I'm just kind of relaxing here. And I'll see if I can find Lisa. And we walk through the living room, spreading the clutter out so we can find our way around. And I say, hey, you know, Lisa, where? Lisa's in the back somewhere. Hey, Lisa, we got company. It's time to eat. She said, okay, I'll put some leftovers in the microwave. How would you feel if that's how you were greeted in our home? You came to dinner and we gave you leftovers in the microwave and you had to wait on them. You deserve better than that, don't you? And yet, how many of us live our lives first and then give whatever's left over of our time, our energy, give whatever's left over to God? I mean, after all, we've got 6 days to live our real lives and only one that we have to worry about Him, right? It's real easy for us to get into that mode, and we need to be careful about it because God deserves our best. Many of you remember Jack Feltz. Jack Feltz used to have a fun, kind of quirky sense of humor. And every time that we talked about this prophet, he would call him the Italian prophet. It's not Malachi. Malachi. Malachi 1, cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. Ow! You see what God called that person? Not busy. Not overcommitted. What did He call that person? A cheat. Cursed is the cheat who has something better, but all He gives me is the blemished animal, the leftovers. Why is that a problem? For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. God deserves our best. And He says, what are you doing? You've got these great resources right there. You've got this perfect, beautiful critter right there, and you're going to give me a three-legged mutt? God deserves our best, not our microwaved leftovers. 1 Corinthians 10, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, you do for His glory. Why? Because He deserves it. I wonder how many of us, day in, day out, keep that in our minds and think about what am I doing? Is it bringing God glory? And when it's time to be a part of the church, when it's time to gather as the church family, do you just come to receive? Or are you here to glorify God and to serve Him? If you're here to serve Him, then get involved and really participate. Do your best. The psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. Enter His courts with praise. When you volunteer for a committee or another area of service, show up. Work hard. Give your best, not just enough. And don't stop working until you've reached the best possible results. Because God deserves our best. Revelation 3 is another hard saying. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. One of the reasons this is so hard for me to hear is because most of us have interpreted this verse about faith. Either you've got a strong faith or a weak faith, and that makes a lukewarm faith. Notice he didn't say faith. I know your what? Deeds. He says, I'm watching what you're doing, your deeds. And based on what you're doing and how you're doing it, I can see that you're neither hot nor cold, just enough to get by. Just good enough. Just show up and get the paycheck. Just sign up. I see your deeds. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you'd be one or the other. God says, I would rather you not ever sign up or show up or do anything than I would for you to claim to be mine and then act like you're not. Because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, it just kind of makes me sick. Instead, we understand He deserves our best. We give Him our best. We do our best. Because good isn't good enough. Because God deserves the best we have. Obviously, I wouldn't know this from firsthand experience. But I understand from those who play poker that there is an important moment in your game, in the tournament, in which you as a player have to eventually decide it's time to go. What? It's time to go all in. Again, not from personal experience, but let me tell you, you can't win a game if you're never willing to go all in. What is all in? All in means that I'm putting every chip I've got out on the table. Everything I have is going into this effort. Folks, I'm going to be a little bit difficult this year. Because I'm going to go all in. And you're either going to have to call or fold. We as a church family can do better. And it's time for us to give God our best. Not so we can be the best church in town. It's time for us to go all in, give Him our best, simply because He deserves it. And that's going to be our first plumb line. Everything we do needs to measure up to the reality that God deserves our best. In Matthew chapter 22, I don't know if I've got a slide. Yeah. In Matthew 22, they said, Jesus, what's the most important commandment ever made? He said, it's simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the Gospel of Mark adds, all your strength. You go all in, all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Wholehearted. Remember that verse earlier said to do it heartily. Wholehearted. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for this challenge from your word. We pray, Lord, that you would help us each right now as individuals. Help each one of us to make sure that we are living for you, that we really are trusting in you each step along the way, and that we're ready to go all in our commitment to you. Forgive us for complacency. Forgive us for mediocrity. Forgive us for laziness, for distraction, for comparing ourselves to the wrong standards. We confess all of those things to you and ask your forgiveness. Father, beginning today, may we as individuals, as families, as a church, may we give you our best, wholeheartedly. We need your help to do that. So we pray for your help right now. Father, we ask as well that if there is anything in our lives that would hinder that experience, anything between us and you, Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us of that, heal us, save us from that right now. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us make sure that you are indeed Lord and we are servant. We pray for it in Jesus' name.